Acts chapter 2. Book of Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Acts 2, verse 41. And they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. What we read here, of course, occurred on what is known as the day of Pentecost. We read in verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come. And reading beyond verse 1, we see that God produced miraculous wonders that occurred that day. There's no reason for Baptists to be afraid of the day of Pentecost. And it is not our intent in this message to look at the significance or the meaning of the day of Pentecost, nor is it our intent to look at all the events of that day. But know this, the occurrences of that day were glorious, full of meaning for you and I today, full of instruction for you and I today. And what is recorded of this day, the day of Pentecost, was all God produced. But our emphasis this evening will be what we've just read in our text. In this verse, notice there is a they and there is a them. There is a they, and there is a them. And concerning the they, we read that they gladly received his word, and that they were baptized, and that they were added to the them. Again, there is a they, there is a them. We are also told concerning the they, that there were about 3,000. And they are referred to as souls. Souls. The subject of the message is saved, baptized, and added. Saved, baptized, and added. We want to consider two things, the them and the they. First of all, the them in our text actually refers to the they of verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all added with one accord in one place. That's the same as the them in our text. But that should raise the question, who are these? Who are these people? And it's important that we know, because what happened on this day involved these people. It's amazing to me how many people study the day of Pentecost and they never know who the they or the them is. And they're the ones involved in all the events. Back in chapter 1 and verse 13, we are taken into an upper room. And in that room, there were the 11 remaining apostles. Back in Luke chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, we're just referring to these verses. We have record of Christ calling the 12 apostles. He called a multitude of disciples unto himself, and of them he chose 12 and named them apostles. We have that record in Luke 6. Back in Matthew 16, 18, Jesus declared, I will build my church. Jesus saying, my church. Now, as long as Jesus can say, my church, don't get caught up in believing that one church is just as good as another. Because I'm here to tell you, any church that's called my church by Christ is better than any other. And we are told in 1 Corinthians 12:28, and God hath set some, not all, in the church. And we see that there's an order in doing so, because he next says, first, that's order, apostles. So the first church, the one Jesus organized during his earthly ministry, the one that Jesus called my church, was organized with 12 members. So the apostles in that upper room constituted the Lord's church. Now in Acts chapter 1 verse 13, we read, and when they were come in, they went up to an upper room, notice, where abode, and then mentioned are by name the 11 apostles who had already gathered in that upper room. But some others have now come in. And we read in verse 14, these all. Well, who is this? These all. Well, that would include the ones who had come in and the 11 that were already there. These all continued with one accord in prayer. So we're told what they were doing in that upper room. They were praying. And they were in unity in praying. In verse 15, it says, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Who are the disciples? They are those who are gathered in that upper room. The 11 and the others who had come in. So Peter stands up and said, the number of names together were about 120. So you had 11 apostles in the upper room. Some others came in to that same upper room. Peter stands up and counts about 120. So that means that about 109 came into the upper room where the 11 apostles were. And they're all in accord praying. The church, the one that Jesus termed my church, has now grown to about 120 members. They are with one accord in prayer. They went on and they had a business meeting. Perhaps not like we have business meetings today. It doesn't really matter. But in that meeting, they elected a man by the name of Matthias. And he was to replace Judas Iscariot. This man by the name of Matthias was part of the approximate 109 who came in. And then coming to chapter 2, verse 1, we see that they were all with one accord in one place. This is the church. We read in verses 2 and 3 that the Holy Spirit, 120 people in that room, moved through that room, and as a result, verse 4, they, the 12, began to speak in other languages to the others. News quickly spread. And we see in verse 6 that a multitude now had arrived. So you have the 120, and now there is a multitude that has come together to that upper room where the church was assembled. In verses 8 through 10, the apostles are preaching, and this multitude are hearing in their own languages. Verse 6 says that they were confounded, that is, they were astonished. They were greatly startled and perplexed. And then in verse 14 it says, Peter, standing up with the 11 who had been speaking, lifted up his voice, no doubt above the others. And what he preached that day to that multitude that had now gathered. And as you read there in Acts chapter 2, you see that multitude represents 15 nationalities. And they all heard in their own tongue. And the message that Peter preached that day is recorded in verses 15 through verse 36. The theme of the message was this: Jesus was crucified. Jesus, whom ye crucified, is both Lord and Christ. So there's the them, which is the church, 120 people. Now consider the they. You have the church assembled. The Holy Spirit comes in a miraculous manner. A great multitude has come in. And Peter begins to preach. And many of those who had come in were pained in their heart at what Peter was saying. Notice verse 37 of Acts chapter 2. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. They were pained in their heart as a result of the Holy Spirit taking the preached word, applying it to their hearts. In other words, they were brought under the convicting power of the Spirit of God. And that is very painful. It's a very painful experience. The preached word of God, the sword of the Spirit, had cut them to their heart and convinced them of the wickedness of their sins, specifically of crucifying Christ. And as a result, they cried out to the apostles, "What shall we do?" And then in verse 38, Peter said unto them, "Repent." And these were gloriously saved. They were also baptized. Notice our text. Then, again, the word then states order. Then, they that gladly received his word, that is the ones who were pricked in heart. Then, after they received the word, after they were saved, they were baptized. So those who are saved by the amazing grace of God were now baptized by the church. Christ had given his church authority to administer baptism back in Matthew chapter 28. But the order is this: salvation and then baptism. That is always the order. And order matters. In the book of Acts chapter 8, notice verses 12 and verse 13. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. They believed and they were baptized. Verse 36, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said to Philip, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The chariot came to a stop. Philip and the eunuch go down into the water, and the eunuch is baptized. We see the same order in Acts chapter 10, verse 47 and 48. First salvation, then baptism. And we realize everyone here knows that. There is no saving or cleansing power in baptism. None whatsoever. But it does serve as a it does serve the function of a picture. It is a picture of the gospel. It is a picture of what does save Jesus Christ. It is a picture that points to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And on that day of Pentecost, approximately 3,000 pictures were presented. Baptism is a picture of union with Christ, which only comes about through salvation. It is a union in His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And though baptism does not bring union with Christ, it does picture that such has taken place, that there is a union with Christ. You see, the baptized individual is saying, I am in Christ. I am in Christ just as I am in this water. And just as you see me coming out of this water, so one glorious day I shall rise and be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Baptism is a picture of one's death to sin and their burial. The old life is buried, and a picture of a new life. The baptized individual is saying, Jesus Christ died to put away my sin by His death. And His death has become my death to sin as a master. That is, sin is no longer my master. My old life is buried. And as you see me coming out of this water, so I will walk in newness of life. That is the picture of baptism. So they were saved. They were baptized. They were added unto. Verse 41, they were added unto. Showing that the church was already in existence. It's not our point to prove that tonight. But verse 41 pretty much proves it. Again, notice our text. They were saved. They were baptized. They were added unto them. The them is the they of verse 1, which is the church that Jesus describes as my church. What a marvel. Saved, baptized, and added unto them. That's something to be thankful for. And in verse 47 it says, and the Lord added to the church. So you read verse 41, you read verse 47, and here's how it goes. Added unto them the church. Them is the church. Added unto them the church. What this means is that these that were saved and baptized were taken and attached and joined to the church. Did they attach themselves? No, the Lord added. Did they join themselves? No, the Lord added. The Lord attached them, and the Lord joined them to the church. So what is the degree of this adding? Well, in Ephesians 2 and verse 21, it says, being fitly, that means harmoniously, framed. The Greek word framed means bound and welded. This is how they were added. They are bound and welded together. Fitly joined together. Harmoniously welded together. Talking about church. Welded together with one another. Ephesians 2:22 says, build it. You think of building, that speaks of a uniting of parts, a combining of parts, a merging, a fusing of parts. And the church is pictured as build it together. So when we read these words, added unto them, it means that these individuals, 3,000 that were saved, baptized, were then added or bound and welded, integrated, united, merged, and fused with them. Verse 47, the church. The church. Again, it's welded together. And it's the Lord who does the welding. And all this added unto them, there's a uniting, there's a binding, there's a link, there's a connection, there's an interrelationship. But then notice verse 47. And the Lord added to the church. Peter didn't add. Thomas didn't add. Andrew didn't add. Philip didn't add. The Lord added to the church. Still works that way today. So this adding is the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 12:28, and God hath set some in the church. God hath set. Mom and dad didn't set them in. The pastor didn't set them in. No one else set them in. They didn't set themselves in. God set them in the church. That word set means placed. God placed them. He placed them where He wanted them. God positioned them. God situated them. And God hath set some. Some have been placed and positioned and situated in the church, in the body of Christ. And glory to God, it's God who does it. Think upon what this means. Not only gloriously saved by His amazing grace. I mean, that's beyond wonderful. But God placed, God positioned, God situated in one of the churches that the Lord calls my church. That's special. That's special. We thank the Lord for a God-placed, God-positioned, God-situated church membership. It's the only way that'll work. The Lord's the only one who can bring together so many different personalities and weld them together and make something beautiful out of it. God's the only one that can do that. the Lord added to the church. So we thank the Lord for a God-placed, God-positioned, God-situated membership. Added unto, it says, into a particular body of Christ. People today have lost the concept of a body of Christ. Added by the Lord to a local body, must be local, to a local body of Christ. Think of the human body. Was it just thrown together haphazardly? Or was it an orderly creation of God? It was an orderly creation of God. So is the church. So is the church. A church, just like a body, is prepared by God. It is a creation by God's design. People will say all the time, well, so-and-so is a good church member at such-and-such a church. Boy, I'd like to have them here. They'd make a good church member here, only if God added them. Only if God added them. Just because they're good somewhere else don't mean they'll be good here. They're only going to be good where the Lord added them. You don't want anybody the Lord doesn't add. You know, people say there's, I say it all the time to young people, there's worse things than being alone. And let me tell you something, there's worse things than having an empty seat, too, in a church. You don't want just anybody filling that pew. It's by God's design. When the Lord formed your human body, He did not take a bunch of body parts and throw them together at random, but with great thought and purpose, carefully placed them together. And so it is with the Lord's church when the Lord adds to His church. Everything is skillfully and miraculously placed. And whenever the Lord adds to the body, there is an improvement in the body. Every God addition is an improvement. We've all seen it happen. There have been people who have joined the church, and it would be a wild stretch of the imagination to say that they were an improvement to the body, because God didn't add them. If God adds them, there is an improvement to the body. The Lord's churches are like a tree. If you want to add to a tree, you do not just go out, cut a branch off from another tree and tie it on. That's not adding to a tree. That's encumbering a tree. To add to a tree, there must be a grafting, which requires skill. Not just anybody can do it. It requires skill. Brad, when you received part of a liver from Brother Mark, was it somebody skilled that did it? Well, yeah, it was. I mean, it wasn't just anybody off the street, is what I'm saying. It was somebody who had skill, knowing how to do that. Right, right. I know what you meant. But it took skill. You didn't just get anyone off the street. Only the Lord can add to His churches. He's the surgeon. It's not about church shopping. It's about being Lord added. It's not about jobs. It's about being Lord added. It's not about fun and games and friendships. I can go off on Facebook here. I'm not going to. It's about being Lord added. It's not about climate. It's not about family. It's about being Lord at it. It's not about man's devisings, man's plans. It's about being Lord at it. It's not about convenience. It's not about retirement. It's about being Lord at it. People make plans all the time. When I'm 60-some years old, 70-some years old, I'm going to retire and move such and such place and join the church there. You are. Is the Lord adding you? Or is that your plan? Be honest, that's your plan. It happens all the time. It happened in the state of Michigan when the automotive industry was going strong. Isn't it funny? Not funny in a humorous way either. How many people from the South moved to Michigan for jobs, joined churches? And these same people who supposedly were at it, isn't it funny that when the jobs were gone, off they went? That's not the Lord adding. That's not the Lord adding. That's jobs adding. The Lord added to the church. And when He does, and He does, it is a miracle of His doing. From all of this, we learn that God adds to His churches deliberately. He doesn't add to them by accident. He adds to them with purpose. He does so according to His own order. He does so according to His own order. When God adds or sets in His churches, whoever is added becomes a part. I mean a part. It's like a bodily part. They become a part of that particular body. It is called a household of God. It's different than the family of God. It's a household of God. It's a closer relationship than all the family. And God adds us to a household, a particular household of God. Again, our text, added unto them, verse 47, the Lord added to the church. But notice, verse 41, the Lord didn't just add their names. And He did not just add them in body. There were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Why doesn't it just say there were added unto them 3,000? Well, because then you might just think of a body, the person's fleshly body. When the Lord adds, He adds their souls. People can add their names. Preachers can add names. Churches can add names. But only the Lord can add souls. And what a difference it makes. Only God can save. Only God can add. Saved, baptized, and added. The Lord came to where Heidi was and saved her soul. And this evening, we baptize Heidi, painting a picture of what Jesus Christ did in saving her soul. Baptism doesn't make her more saved. Baptism has no saving qualities whatsoever. But it is a picture. And the picture is to be accurate. It is a picture of what Jesus did in saving her soul. And by this act of baptism, she is declaring that she has a new life in Jesus Christ. She's also declaring that it is her intent to manifest Christ in her life. And in addition to that, through the act of baptism, the Lord is adding her. The Lord is placing, positioning, and situating Heidi in this body of Christ, Home Baptist Church. That's what the Lord is doing this evening. The Lord is adding to His church. Again, picture the adding as welding together. This is not some loose union. It's a welding together. Can and does the Lord move individuals? Well, certainly. But it's the Lord that does it, and it's a surgery that's performed. It's a surgery that the great surgeon performs. And by this act of baptism, she is declaring, Lord, save my soul. And I'm going to serve Him. And I'm going to glorify Him. This is serious business. She's testifying to all here that not only did the Lord save her, but it is her intent to serve Him and glorify Him in and through this body of Christ. So you see, the act of baptism shows her identity with Christ, shows her identity with the purpose of Christ, but also identifies her with a people that have been set apart by the Lord in this body of Christ. She is identifying not with every church in our fellowship. She's identifying with this body of Christ. She is not being added to every church in our fellowship. She's being added to this body of Christ. She's identifying with a special people, the people that have been saved, baptized, and added. What a marvel. What a wonderful, wonderful thing to be saved, baptized, and added unto the Lord's churches. You cannot improve on God's way. Can't be done. And this is God's way. Saved, baptized, and added. And Heidi, don't let anybody draw you from here. The Lord is adding. The Lord is adding. Consider the seriousness of that. The Lord is adding the Home Baptist Church. Now we, she's being added to us. She becomes a part of us. That's always true. When the Lord adds, He's adding to us, not vice versa. He's adding to us. The Lord added to the church. We ought to thank God every day. And now that she's being added to us, you are to pray for her every day. You are to encourage her in every way that you can. to serve the Lord in this church. You're to be an example to her. She's to be an example to us. It works both ways. It's an awesome responsibility. It's an awesome responsibility before the Lord. It's an awesome responsibility to the church. And they are both accountable to the Lord and to the church. You're accountable to the body of which you are a member. People who say, well, it's not the church's business what I do. Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. You are accountable. You have an awesome responsibility. So tonight we thank the Lord that God saved Heidi. We thank the Lord that she's following Him in scriptural baptism. We thank the Lord that He's adding her to this body of Christ. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in a verse of song.